R.W. Johnson, not Irina Filatova, on screen with us now. He's using his wife's machine. So nice to be with him. And, of course, a very important interview. Election 2024. Shock for many people. Not so much for Mr. Johnson. We'll find out why. R.W. Johnson is a political scientist, author, and BizNews' most popular columnist. Bill, lovely to have you on the program. Just a couple of days after all the election results are through, I say no big surprise, because at the BizNews conference, you let it out the bag that the MK were polling incredibly high, close to 50% in KwaZulu-Natal, and that the ANC had gone down into early double figures. It sounded almost too big a change to believe, but here we have it. Here we have the actual numbers. It appears as though your polling that you were doing for ENCA was very close to the final result.
Well, it was in that respect. We were bang on with MK, both within Natal and KZN and within the country. We actually were within percentage point in both cases. We were less good on the Patriotic Alliance, which came through right at the end. And we also were somewhat light on the DA, which did slightly better than we thought. But overall, yes, the polls were good.
And of course, now it's all about coalitions. If we go back to our conversations over the past couple of years, your thought has always been that the ANC and the EFF were a natural coalition partnership. There's lots of reasons being put forward why this would be bad for the country, but perhaps we can start there. Are you still feeling that that's a likely outcome?
Well, put it this way. It would be instinctively for probably more people inside the ANC would feel comfortable about that than would in making a deal with the DA. But, of course, the reasons not to do it, which are very powerful, are to do with the financial world and the complete calamity that would overtake the economy if they were to go that way. So, personally, I believe that if the ANC made a deal with the EFF, it wouldn't last. I think that they would recoil after a week or so and realize this was just a disaster. So I don't think it's really a viable option.
And what about the negotiations that are now going forward? If we can just start with the DA. You have Helen Ziller leading the team, which includes Tony Leon, a former leader of the Democratic Alliance, and some other interesting names in there. Not the leader, not John Steenhuisen. Is that perhaps a disadvantage for them, that their leader's not sitting around the table?
Well, no, because I would be surprised if Ramaphosa were going to be sitting around the table either. I think both sides will depute a team to do it, and that there are advantages in not having your leaders there. But that's almost a detail, you know. And it's also very early days. They'll have to sort of find one another in the same way that the National Party and ANC negotiators had to find one another in 1994. You know, they hadn't spoken before in that sort of way. And it's a whole new political world that they're now in.
How so? How is it a whole new world?
Why is it a whole new world? Well, because the ANC's authority is gone. They are unlikely to get it back. And they've got to adjust to a world in which they're just one other party, and in which they have had a humiliating rebuff from the electorate. So, I think that is a very different scenario than the one they've been living in. And, of course, it's not a comfortable transition. You could see that in the way that Gwede Mantashe was behaving and shouting and carrying on and saying it was all the fault of journalists that this had happened, that they had convinced people they needed a change and so on. This is just ludicrous adolescent stuff. But he'll get over it. People will.
So help us through here, Bill. The nation is very confused. We've had a 30-year rule by the ANC. The thesis that Franz Cronier gave us on Friday is that it's binary. Either the ANC has a coalition with the DA in some form, which will catapult the country forward, or it goes into what he called the Chernobyl option, the nuclear option. Is he exaggerating it?
No, I think that's, broadly speaking, I mean, you know, that Chernobyl is just a dramatic way of putting it, but certainly if you do a deal with the populists who are also, you know, keen to get their hand in the till, then you'll be back in the worst possible situation you could be, and the whole thing will run away from you, and there's no happy ending down that road. Whereas the deal with the DA would be a very, very different and much more serious thing about running the country. So, I would agree with France on that scenario, really.
When we go back to the KwaZulu-Natal provincial outcome, it is where you were raised in the province. You know it well. Are you able to give us some insight into how that might all unfold, given that between the IFP, the DA, and their potential partner, there, the ANC, they still don't have 50%. And of course, on the other hand, Zuma's MK doesn't have 50% either.
Well, I would expect MK to make a deal with the IFP. That would seem to me the natural, normal thing to happen, partly because MK took quite a strong line about, Zulu patriarchal authority and the rights of traditional leaders and the king and so forth, all of which goes down perfectly well with the IFP. And the IFP were the second party. So there's no bad feeling between those two parties in the way that there is between ANC and MK. And it would be a relatively easy thing. And I think IFP would be happy to be part of the government of KwaZulu-Natal again. So that's what I would expect there. But the problems in KZN are really dreadful, because you can start with the fact that Durban is in the most appalling state. And it's in that state because the RET faction, the Zuma faction of the ANC, has been running that city and running it into the ground, stealing the money, not doing maintenance, repairs, or anything like that. And you know what the result is. Now, even before the election, we had reached a situation in which the central government was beginning to say, listen, we're going to have to intervene in Durban. We can't watch one of our biggest metros go down the plug hole like this. And it's going to need money from the center, and it's going to need a bailout, but we also have to get rid of these people who are running it into the ground. Now, I don't know what exactly they had in mind, but they were limbering up for something. Well, now the whole thing is worse, in the sense that the Zumaites are control of the whole province and presumably will want to back up that group running Durban. And the center will not be very keen to bail out a city which is putting money into the hands of MK, who will doubtless steal it. So, you know, it's very, very messy. And I don't know what will happen. And I feel very sorry for my old province of KwaZulu-Natal, because it's certainly not in safe hands.
Is there any chance that the others might be able to get together and indeed bring in maybe one or two of the smaller parties to get that extra 1.5%, i.e., the IFP going with the DA and the ANC rather than with Zuma's lot?
Well, I doubt it. And, you know, you'd need just about everybody else, which includes the EFF. And the EFF would not do a deal against the MK, who they are very friendly with, in order to help the DA and the ANC. I mean, that's just not going to happen. So I don't really think there's a plausible alternative. And, of course, we don't know how on earth MK is going to work as a party, because Zuma seems to be the sole authority within it, the sole lawgiver. And he's an old man, and he's going to be sitting in Nkandla. He won't be sitting in Durban or Maritzburg, let alone Pretoria. So I don't know how the MK party is going to work, either in Parliament, the National Parliament, or even in the provincial legislature. That remains to be seen.
Well, from a cultural perspective, you do have a fairly authoritarian type operations in the EFF and in MK, whereas the ANC, as we keep hearing, rely on the National Executive Committee, the coalition within the ANC itself. Does that naturally make them poor partners, even though there seems to be lots of other things that might bring them together?
So which partners are you talking about now?
The ANC talks about a collective, and MK and EFF are very much driven by Zuma and Julius Malema. So it seems rather strange for a collective to be together with those two parties. Yet, everything we hear is that the three of them are likely to, or could, have got a lot in common.
Well, they have. Obviously, they're all splinters from the ANC has just kept on splitting. First the UDM, then the COPE and EFF, and now MK, and Lord knows, there may be further. Well, I mean, there are already little ones like the African Transformation Movement and so on. But they're all part of the same initial body. But I don't think that there's any likelihood of ANC teaming up with MK. The feeling is too bad, and MK requires, as their first principle, that Ramaphosa step down, and ANC isn't accepting that. So I can't see how they get together.
So how are you seeing it at a national level then, given that MK and ANC are unlikely bedfellows? A choice between the EFF and the DA, and which way might it
end? And I think that in practice they'll be forced towards the DA, because the finance minister and the governor of the central bank will say, listen, chaps, if you go with the EFF, I can't answer for the, what happens next. And pretty quickly that will, as it happened when, Zuma put in a crazy finance minister, we saw what happened. The market simply said, no, you can't do that.
On another provincial level, Gauteng, how can you see that all playing out?
Well, the ANC has taken quite a big hiding in Gauteng. It's something which I noticed, by the way, when I used to follow French elections. There was always a sort of metropolitan factor where the bigger city, Paris, would always exaggerate whatever the national trends were. And the same thing seems to have happened in Gauteng, that because those are the big central cities of the country, that the ANC's losses there were particularly bad. I think that if you have a look at Gauteng, the interesting thing is that even if you add together ANC and EFF, it's not quite enough. Even together, they don't quite get to 50. So it seems to me that, you might even get some sort of ANC-DA alliance in that province as well. And indeed, I think it's quite possible that when the ANC and DA talk to one another, that one of the things that's going to come up fairly quickly is the situation in the provinces and whether or not a deal at national level will have implications for deals in the provinces.
Is it possible, though, that the ANC would go with the EFF and perhaps Patriotic Alliance in Gauteng, because it's been suggested by the Patriotic Alliance, not publicly, I don't think, but certainly it has been within their circles. That would give them 51% or more than 50%, but then do a separate deal at a national level with the DA, or, you know the inside chattings there.
Mm. No, I think these are all, and indeed, if you go to a province like Northwest or Free State or whatever, there will be a number of provinces where virtually the only possible coalition is ANC-EFF. So it's going to happen in some places without much of a doubt.
Getting back to what people in South Africa think about this election and are now looking forward, do you have reason for hope, or do you have reason for grave concern?
No, I think that it is quite hopeful that, you know, I think that there's a chance of serious reforms, more so than was happening under Ramaphosa alone, and that things really could improve. And I think Franz Kornier is right about that. I think he was being too optimistic about an ANC-DA deal. I don't think that it would automatically lead to a huge improvement in the way that he was talking about. I think it would take time. I think the country and business and everyone would have to get used to the new deal and see how well it was working. But I do agree that in principle, that would, you know, what I think will be interesting is that if they do make a deal, then, you know, part of that is bound to be that the DA will say, look, we cannot have the corruption on the scale that it's been going on continuing. We cannot be part of a government which is as corrupt as it's been. Now, there are going to be people within the ANC who have been making a mint of money, either nationally or provincially, and they are going to be under threat as a result of any deal reached. And that is going to be quite a showdown, I would think.
Enough of a showdown to block any deal?
No, I'm not saying it'll block the deal, though I think that they probably within the ANC, people of that sort will try to oppose the deal. They know that they would be much more comfortable with the EFF, who are themselves perfectly willing to put their hands in the till. But I think that the problem is that there were very powerful interests. And look, we've just seen it. We've just had a speaker, for heaven's sake, forced out for corruption. Someone who had to be above it, you know, in principle. So it goes really deep within the ANC. And it'll include cabinet ministers, and it'll include provincial premiers, and it'll include all sorts of high-ups. So there'll be powerful people within the ANC who very much don't want things to change from the way they've been, and who will feel threatened by a deal with the DA, and who will oppose it. So that's going to be one of the problems that has to be faced.
We've also seen that the MK has been pretty well funded. Now, we've had these conversations in the past that their regalia includes Putin as alongside Jacob Zuma. How real is that influence by the Russians? And indeed, would it ever be able to be exposed if it is real?
Well, it's not hidden. I mean, when you've got people wearing T-shirts with Putin on them, it's hardly being hidden. But they're not telling us. I mean, you know, it's really up to the media to go to them and say, look, please tell us more. You're obviously very friendly with the Russians. You're getting money from them. We can see that. But tell it, please let us know. What's the situation? I mean, unless they're willing to be more open, we're not going to know. But I suspect that all their deals are done with Zuma himself. So it may not be the case that other people in the party know too much. I mean, I've no idea.
And you did mention earlier that Zuma is getting on. If he were to pass or get sick, would that be the end of MK, or would it be a family dynasty with daughters and sons taking the lead?
Well, I'm sure there would be family dynasty attempts to take over, though neither the daughter or the son that we've seen most of have seemed very promising material for that. We don't know. It's a huge question mark as to whether or not MK can continue, and if it doesn't, I mean, you know, at the moment it looks like it's too dependent on an old man who can't last forever, and we simply don't know. But what would happen if he goes either into retirement or ill health or dies or whatever? We can only guess at this point. I would be dubious whether the party could neatly collapse back into the ANC. I think that the feeling against the government there is very strong. And I think it would find other outlets. But we don't know. We can only guess at this point.
Just to close off with, there are two points I'd love to you to elaborate on from your columns, the one that we published over the weekend and the one that we published today. The first one, the Zulu tribal solidarity, which we've now seen coming through in KwaZulu-Natal and anti the ANC as a consequence of that. Can you just elaborate on that? Because Frantz Cronje was saying that you've been talking about this for many years, but the popular way of approaching it is that tribalism does actually not exist or it is not a factor.
No, well, I think, you know, the fact that we've got into a silly situation with this issue, because up until the formation of the ANC, I mean, when the ANC was formed, the whole idea was that up until then, each tribal faction had had its own leadership and had talked separately to the government. And there was a feeling we must stop that. It's divide and rule. We've got to be more united. Though the ANC found it in its early years very difficult to overcome those ethnic differences. And if you speak to anyone who's been a member of the ANC over time, they will always say, yes, there were often difficulties of an ethnic kind, but those issues never fully went away. And I think that, you know, and grievances too. I mean, you always heard Zulus saying that the courses got most of the scholarships and most of the perks when they were in exile. And I think in return, there was a tendency for the SACP to become a more Zulu organization. It was like a redoubt for them, because they didn't feel that they had got their fair share of jobs within the ANC. And I think, you know, it's only natural. We can look at the rest of Africa and we can see how ethnic politics is terribly important, usually quite decisive in Kenya, Uganda, etc. And that it's hardly surprising that it still exists in South Africa. But because the National Party government under apartheid tried to build the alternative homeland system on tribal differences, this created a particular revulsion against it and an attempt to insist that tribal differences only existed because the nationalists were trying to encourage them, which I think is silly. They were there anyway. But so I think that, you know, this is just a natural thing. It's nothing to be too shocked or horrified by. It's always been there. It will gradually fade, but probably take generations to do so, as in the rest of Africa. And, you know, it just so happens that Zulus are the biggest group. They're the most cohesive group. They've got central institutions like the Zulu monarchy, and they've got a very proud sense of their own history. And, you know, I think that all of that gives them a solidarity and a cohesion which other groups simply don't have.
And would that lead, the second question, to greater devolution of power after the results of this election into the provinces?
Well, I think that's a very good point, because there is a sense in which KZN is declaring UDI. I mean, if you look at the sentiments being expressed, even by MK voters, I mean, there was total angry rejection of Ramaphosa and the center. And now they've elected a party which is absolutely hostile to Ramaphosa and to the center. And it's difficult to know how that's going to work. But I certainly think that MK and its allies in KwaZulu-Natal are going to insist that they run that province and without being told what to do by the center. And in practice, they will be much more independent than we've seen from any province hitherto.
R.W. Johnson, and I'm Alec Hogg from BizNews.com.